Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Upheaval. Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond explores how countries respond when familiar systems stop working and a society must change to survive. Diamond, known for connecting geography, history, and culture, shifts focus from long-time spans to recent national turning points, asking what makes some nations adapt successfully while others remain stuck. Using comparative case studies, he looks at crises triggered by war, political extremism, economic collapse, and sudden geopolitical shifts. The book frames national change through a set of practical factors such as honest self-assessment, shared identity, leadership, learning from other societies, and the ability to tolerate painful trade-offs. Diamond also reflects on present-day pressures facing many countries, including polarization, inequality, and environmental strain, and he invites readers to think about resilience as a set of choices rather than a mystery. The result is a big-picture guide to understanding national transformation, written for general readers interested in history, politics, and the dynamics of change. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a framework for national crisis and recovery. A central contribution of the book is its attempt to translate the idea of personal crisis management into a usable framework for nations. Diamond proposes that societies in upheaval face a moment when existing institutions and habits cannot solve urgent problems, forcing decisions that reshape identity and direction. He highlights a set of conditions that tend to support successful change, acknowledging that a crisis exists, accepting responsibility rather than blaming outsiders for everything, setting clear goals, and drawing boundaries around what must be protected versus what can be reformed. The emphasis is not on a single cause like economics or ideology, but on how multiple pressures converge and how leaders and publics respond under stress. Another key element is selective borrowing, learning from other countries without copying them blindly. Diamond also emphasizes national identity and cohesion, arguing that when people see themselves as part of a shared project, they are more willing to accept temporary hardship and compromise. The framework helps readers compare very different cases without pretending they are identical, and it encourages looking for actionable levers such as reforms, coalition building, and institution strengthening rather than treating collapse or renewal as inevitable. Secondly, Finland and the challenge of survival next to a powerful neighbor, one of the book's best-known case studies, examines Finland as it navigated existential danger during and after World War II, particularly the need to preserve sovereignty while living beside the Soviet Union. Diamond uses Finland to illustrate how small states can survive when they face threats they cannot fully control. The focus is on pragmatic adaptation, building strong civic institutions, maintaining national unity, and making difficult strategic choices that balance pride with survival. Finland's experience highlights the importance of realistic self-assessment and disciplined planning. Rather than relying on wishful thinking, a society must understand the constraints created by geography and power politics. Diamond also stresses social cohesion, including a willingness to mobilize broadly and to sustain a shared sense of purpose. The Finnish case demonstrates selective compromise, where leaders may accept unpopular policies to avoid catastrophic outcomes, while still investing in education, governance, and long-term resilience. For readers, this example clarifies the difference between capitulation and strategy. It shows how nations can keep core values intact even while adjusting foreign policy, economic priorities, and security planning to match a threatening environment. Thirdly, Japan and reinvention after a total defeat. Diamond presents Japan's transformation in the wake of World War II as a model of rapid national reinvention under extreme circumstances. Defeat, occupation, and the collapse of the wartime system created a forced reset, yet the post-war outcome was not predetermined. The case study emphasizes how external pressure can open a window for internal reform, but lasting change still depends on domestic choices. Diamond points to the role of institutional redesign, political restructuring, and economic rebuilding as Japan moved toward a more stable democratic order and an export-oriented economy. Another theme is the selective blending of outside ideas with existing cultural strengths. Japan had previously borrowed from abroad during earlier modernization, and Diamond uses this pattern to show how societies can adapt without losing coherence. He also addresses the social and psychological side of recovery, creating a credible narrative about the future, rebuilding trust in institutions, and restoring everyday life through employment and growth. The Japanese example underscores that recovery is not only about material reconstruction, but also about legitimacy. When people believe reforms are fair and purposeful, they are more likely to participate in the disciplined effort required for long-term national renewal. Fourthly, Chile, polarization, authoritarian rule, and the problem of reconciliation, The Chilean case study is used to examine what happens when political polarization escalates into institutional breakdown and authoritarian rule, and how a society later tries to restore democratic norms. Diamond traces how competing visions of national direction can harden into zero-sum conflict, making compromise appear like betrayal. In this environment, crises can accelerate quickly, especially when economic stress, ideological fervor, and contested legitimacy converge. The aftermath raises a different question: how does a country move forward when memories of repression and injustice are still raw? Diamond treats reconciliation as a strategic challenge, not just a moral one. If a society cannot build a shared account of what happened and agree on rules for political competition, it remains vulnerable to renewed instability. The discussion highlights the importance of institutions that restrain winner-take-all behavior, credible legal processes, and a civic culture that accepts electoral loss. It also considers the trade-offs between accountability and stability, and the difficulty of rebuilding trust across divided groups. For readers interested in modern politics, Chile offers a concrete example of how democracies can fracture and what kinds of compromises and reforms can help them recover without erasing painful history. Lastly, lessons for today: strain, identity, and the risks ahead. Beyond historical cases, the book draws broader lessons about the pressures that many nations face now. Diamond emphasizes that modern crises are often multi-layered: economic inequality, political polarization, demographic change, and environmental stress can reinforce each other and overwhelm standard policy tools. He argues that resilience depends on both practical capacity and shared identity. When citizens cannot agree on basic facts or on the legitimacy of institutions, even wealthy societies struggle to respond coherently to shocks. Another recurring lesson is the danger of short-term thinking. Nations that postpone difficult reforms can drift into deeper crisis, while those that tolerate temporary discomfort to address root causes are more likely to stabilize. Diamond also discusses how countries can learn from others while recognizing unique histories and constraints, encouraging a mindset of flexible problem-solving rather than ideological purity. The reader is invited to view national change as a series of choices about priorities, compromises, and institutional design. The underlying message is cautionary but not fatalistic. Crisis does not automatically produce progress, yet it can create an opening for reform if leaders and citizens combine realism, civic responsibility, and a willingness to adapt without abandoning core democratic and humanitarian values. In conclusion, this book suits readers who like big-picture history and want a practical way to think about why nations change course. It is especially useful for students of politics, international relations, and public policy, as well as general readers trying to make sense of instability, polarization, and the feeling that many societies are entering a more fragile era. The main benefit is the comparative lens. By placing multiple national crises side by side, the book helps readers spot recurring patterns such as denial, scapegoating, identity conflict, and the importance of institution building. It can improve a reader's life by strengthening judgment about current events, encouraging healthier skepticism towards simplistic explanations, and offering vocabulary for discussing reform and compromise without sliding into cynicism. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on one country or one variable, Upheaval aims to integrate psychology, culture, leadership, and geopolitics into a single, readable framework. That breadth makes it a strong purchase for those who want more than a timeline of events. Even when readers debate Diamond's interpretations, the structured approach and diverse examples provide lasting value as a toolkit for thinking about national resilience and change. If you would like to support Jared Diamond, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.